We might have victory in Jesus.
Well, I'm just telling you. Victory in Jesus. Well, this morning I preached on being created in Christ Jesus. Today I'm going to preach on every Christian's calling. There's a lot of people out there calling themselves Christians today, and they do absolutely nothing. They live their life the same old way that they used to live. And God says you got a calling on your life now. And so I just want to look at some of the callings. Every saved person has a calling on their life. Some are called to be a pastor. Some are preachers. Some are teachers, evangelists, and the list goes on. But every saved person, man, woman, and child that are saved is called. Not everybody's called to be a pastor. Not everybody's called to be a preacher or an evangelist. Not everybody's called to be a Sunday school teacher or a music leader. But every single person that is saved is called to something. Amen. So I want to make the few points that the Lord has given me on what every person is called to. This goes for a pastor. This goes for just a layman who's sitting in the seat. This goes for a music director. Or this goes just for a person who's the janitor in the church. Every person is called to live this life. It says that today I'd like to share what every Christian calling is. God is not a respecter of persons, and every person is called to these things. We look at our pastors and the preachers and friends and stuff, and we look at them and we have some respect for them. I respect my pastor to the utmost. I love him. He's been through a lot. Pastor Haynes, you guys, I mean, these guys, you have respect for them. But God does not look at us the same. He's not a respecter of every single person. He doesn't say, Dale, you're a Christian. You're called to live this life. But you, Amy, you don't have to live this life. You, Veronica, it's okay. You don't have to do it. And I'm not talking about a call to be a preacher or evangelist. I'm just talking about a simple, everyday Christian life. Everybody is called to live a certain way. And so, Veronica, what stands for me, what God has called me to in the ministry, may not be the same calling as you, but He has a calling on your life for other things. So I want to make that clear that everybody, God is not a respecter of persons, as it says in Romans 2:11, for there is no respect of persons with God. Colossians 3:25 says, but he that doeth wrong shall receive the wrong for which he hath done, and there is no respecter of persons. When you are a saved, born-again person, there are things God calls you out to. And when you are not doing those things, guess what he says? God is not a respecter. You know, he's going to punish that saved person. He's going to correct us. It says if you are without chastisement, you're what? You're a bastard. That's what the Bible calls you if you don't have correction of God. If you don't have the correction of God on your life, then you don't belong to him, is what it says. Every Christian is going to do wrong. But when we're showed what we are doing wrong, he wants us to correct it. We're not just to live there and say, God, thank you for saving me. Now I'm just going to sit and live my life any old way I want, talk any old way I want, do any old thing that I want. No. People got to get out of this habit of picking and choosing what's in God's Word. Oh, yeah, I'll listen to that, but no, I'm not going to listen to that. Yeah, I'll listen to that, but no, I'm not going to listen. No, you're going to take the Bible as a whole. And we're going to listen. We're going to have it teach us and show us how we should live our life. And there's a bunch of callings on a Christian's life. And I want to show what the callings are. I've said it here, I think the last time I was here. I said, one day I hope the Lord gives me a message on what the Christian's callings are. And lo and behold, guess what I have? The Lord gave me a message, you know, and it just lifted me up because I realized, wow. There's something deeper than what we all know as a whole. So anyway, so I'm going to share that with you. I've preached it before, and I'm going to say it again because it's important what God has called every Christian to. We are called to be salt. You guys remember that I preached that sermon here. We're called to be salt. Matthew 5:13 says, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth therefore good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men." We're called to give this world some flavor. We're called because when there's a lost and dying world out there who's trapped in a life that they don't know how to get out of, and we are called to be salt there. We're called to go and get into their lives and show them what Jesus Christ has done, give them some flavor, and make them desire that thing. I'm not going to go into the whole gist of it, but if you go back and you look, it says in Romans 12, 1 and 2 that he calls us, we're what? We're to what? Live as a sacrifice. Go back into the Levitical law that says every sacrifice that's done is to be salted. God calls us in Romans 12, 1 and 2 to live a sacrificial life, a living sacrifice. Therefore, we're called to be salt. He fulfilled his own law by saving us. And now he tells us, now that you're saved, go out there and I want you to live as a living sacrifice. And I want you to give this Lord, world something that they'll desire. Give them something. This world, it looks good to people. But he says, I want you to show them there's something different. There's more to what they see. And therefore he calls us out there to be that salt. To go out there and show these people what he's given us. We are called to both be salt on earth. We are to flavor, to have flavor in our Christian lives. And not to be bland or have no flavor with the unsaved world. We are to have zest and a willingness to help preserve what Jesus has for all. To show the Christian life and has something to do. There's something to it. They're so used to hearing about it and seeing some fail that they don't want it. Think about where Christianity is today. Go knock on a door in any neighborhood and somebody has approached them about living the life for Jesus Christ, praying a prayer, okay, good, smack you on your rear end and send you on your way, and have nothing to do with you ever again. Somebody comes down a few months later, a year or two later, goes and knocks on that same door and tries to tell them about Jesus Christ. They want nothing to do with it. Christianity's lost its salt here in America. So many people are being inoculated because so many people are calling themselves saved people, going out there, they're getting a notch underneath their belt, and they're leaving that person on their own. They're leaving that person to struggle. They're leaving that person out there and they want nothing to do with them. You hear big name preachers and evangelists, you hear their meetings and you sit underneath them and they go, yeah, well last week I led 600 people to the Lord. Wow. You go back a month later, not one of them, then people were in church. Christianity has lost its soul. Men are worried about power. They're worried about numbers. They're not worried about a changed life. They're not worried about Jesus being fully formed in a person. They're not worried about that. What I preached this morning on being created in Christ Jesus. What's it say? It says, if salt has lost its flavor, it is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden underfoot. That's what Christianity is today. It's been cast out. It's lost its flavor. We just went a couple weeks ago to a church that was open for 60 years, just closed their door. But yet, you go and ask every one of them people, how many people did you lead to the Lord? And they'll give you all these numbers. And now they just closed their church doors. Why at Black Creek is there empty pews? Why here is there empty pews? Because Christianity has lost its soul. We need to get that back. We got to realize it's not about us. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about what he done on that cross. It's about his power and not what we can do. God forbid if you look at me and think that I'm anything. But know this, that I would not be anything that I am today if it was not for Jesus Christ. Nothing. So much Christianity has lost its flavor. It's lost its zest. We are to have zest and willingness to help preserve what Jesus has for all. To show the Christian life has something to it. They're hearing it, they're seeing it, and they don't want nothing to do with it. Some want the real thing. They want something better than what they have and what they've seen. They want a zest and some flavor. They see a salty, the zest and flavor that a salty Christian has. If a Christian is living according to what God has called them to, don't you think people are going to want that, desire that? My example is, because I don't know anybody much about any other people's lives, but I know that when I seen Jesus Christ in my pastor, I wanted that. He was salt. There was flavor to his life. There was something in his life that I desired, and it was Jesus Christ. Now, if we went out there and we lived like we were called to, don't you think people are going to start desiring our life? But where is it today? So many people are worried about everything else, and they're not worried about what Jesus Christ has called us to. We're called to be salt. We're called to give this lost and dying world some flavor. And we can only do it by our testimony, by the Word of God, by what Jesus Christ has done for us. I know when I was a person, lost in the mire, a life wrecked, headed for hell, I wanted something different. I just didn't know how to get it. You know what? A salty man came up to me and preached the word of God to me, and I got saved. I know it sounds funny, but there's a reason why God calls us the salt, because there's something to it. We all have heard in this room a million times, people, I'm this and I'm that, and you look at their life and you watch them and you go, no, they're not. Why would you desire that then? Why would you desire what they have? They want zest. They want flavor. They want a salty, what the salty Christian has. Funny as it sounds, it's the truth. Look at your life. Look at the empty church pews, our altars, and the newly saved people, and ask, how salty is our church? How salty are the people in our church? How many so-called saved Christians and churches have lost the salt, that flavor God wants us to be in, because of our churches and the power with God has lost its saltiness? Instead of giving something to the lost and dying world, we now fit in with them. We now fit in with the world and stand on man's standards and not the standards that God has given us in His Word. How many people I've looked up to, so many pastors and preachers and for wisdom and such, and then I look at them and I go, they don't have the standards of God. They're standing on the standards of man. God forbid. The standards of man won't last. They won't make it. It's not going to get you through it. But what God has set in place, that's what's going to get you through it. No pastor ever put a standard on me for the way I dress, did he? You guys know our pastor. He would never do that. He put the standards of God and what God wants. That's what he puts out there. So many people, you know, so many people are under the oppression of a pastor, the one that's leading that church. Why? Because if they don't do this and don't do that and don't do that, he's going to get angry and he's going to get upset with them. And so they're living by man's standards, and the Holy Ghost can no longer work in their life because they think they're okay. I know my wife can stand up here and she can give a testimony of men of God who I love dearly, would never ever want to ever have anything against them. I don't have anything against them, but I watched them with my own wife try to coax her into something that was not true. They kept trying. She knew for sure that she was not saved. She was lost. And yet they kept trying to tell her, no, you're okay. No, you're okay. She's like, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. Thank God. Thank God she had a Bible that she can go back to and realize, no, I'm lost. Because some man tried to get her to believe on his standard. Isaiah 44. It says that verses 1, I think, and 1 and 2. I think I'm in the right book. It says that God oppressed Israel for 20 years and had 900 chariots of iron. For 20 years he mightily oppressed Israel before they finally called on his name. Don't you think God knows where every person's at and he knows when they're going to call on his name? Why do we have to step in there? Why do we have to step in? 4 years I sat underneath Bible preaching. For 4 years I came out to the altar many a times with a broken heart, but not a contrary heart. For many years, until God broke me, he knew what it was going to take to break me. But man wants to step in and get in the way, and God, you know what he does? He steps out of the way and says, you know what you're doing? You're sending people to hell. You're not saving them. You're not leading them to anything they don't know. They've heard it a million times. Called to be salt. Every Christian is called to be holy. 1 Peter 1, 15 and 16. But as he which hath said, called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. The word conversation, again, doesn't just mean the way you talk. That means your whole lifestyle is to be lived holy. Why? Let me go back. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be holy for I am holy. All saved people are called to be holy. All. You tell me where it shows there's an exception. Does a pastor just have to be holy? Or just a preacher? Or just a Sunday school? No, we're all called to be holy. All of us. So we know that we're called to be salt. And we're called to live a holy life. All saved people are called to be. Why? Because Jesus is holy and we're to be like him. So if he is holy and his word tells us to be holy. You hear, what would Jesus do? You don't want to know what he would do because you can't live it. You don't want what he would do. Think about it. How many people know that we're called to be holy and want to live that way? There's some out. I'm not saying not. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying there's some liberal people out there. You know, what would Jesus do? And you know all this and that. And you know what? If they read what the Word of God says, and I'm not talking about the Word of God and what it says, they wouldn't agree with what Jesus would do. So they really don't want to do what Jesus would do. He calls us to live a separate life. That means separate in everything. Holy. I got the definition of holy down here. And it says that because you're holy, we got to be like him. We cannot pick and choose what we want from the Word of God. We must take it as a whole and do what it says. If we don't, James says, and what? Verse 122, James, he says, we're deceiving ourselves. He says, don't be just a hearer of the Word, but a doer. Because just a hearer, all you're doing is deceiving yourself. You're not what you really think you are if you're not doing the Word of God. That's what it says. That's what James says. If you're just being a hearer and not a doer, you're not what you really think you are. Because you're deceiving yourself. That's what it says. He called us out to be holy. How can a person ever, with a wicked heart, learn how to be holy? Maybe a Bible? Maybe some prayer? Staying in church? Could that be the answer? Sure it could be. That's how we learn how to live holy. We are tricking ourselves into believing it's something we are not. What is the meaning of holy? It means to be hallowed, consecrated, or set apart for a sacred use, or to the service or worship of God. A sense of being in the Scripture frequently. Holy means to live a separated life unto God, doing what His Word says, and to live a life that is pleasing to the Lord. To live as Jesus did in His strength. There is no way on God's green earth anybody in this room, including this guy up here, could ever live holy without Jesus Christ. Impossible. You'll find yourself laying flat on your face with nothing. Empty, dark, nothing happening in your life. You'll never live holy outside of Jesus Christ ever. Ever. It is impossible for a human to live holy without Christ. Impossible. They may do good works, but let me tell you what them good works are going to do. And good works are somebody who thinks they have a work salvation when they wake up in the flames of hell. God forbid. He didn't die for a person to go to hell. He died so they might live. But again, do they want the holiness that God has called them to? No. They're doing their own things on their own ways, trying their own things. God has set out in His Word of what He wants us to do. Pretty black and white. For somebody who never... I didn't grow up with a King James Bible in my family, my life, none of that. You know how I always have people say, well, I just can't read a Bible then. You know what you do? The same thing I did. Sit down and start reading it. You'll get it. Gotta give it to you. I didn't grow up carrying around a Bible. How'd I learn it? Sat down and started reading it. Guess what happened after I started reading it? I got saved. Guess what happened after I got saved? I started doing it. Why? Because He called me out to holiness. He calls every believer out. So we have two things. Number one, He calls us out to be salt. Number two, He definitely calls us out to be holy. Could you imagine Him saving a Christian person, and then people are watching this person going, gosh, that's a saved person? And all they're doing is trying to drag Jesus Christ's name through the mud. He wouldn't put a stamp of approval on that person. I'm just telling you now, He wouldn't put a stamp of approval on that person who's out there and living a totally opposite of what He says to live. No, it's a process. I didn't get saved and all of a sudden I'm holy. Oh, no. Oh, no. It's a process. And let me tell you something. I love my children. And how are they going to learn? Were they born just knowing everything? No, they got to be taught. They got to be corrected. They got to be shown. They got to be taught. They got to be loved. Guess what? Guess what our Father does to us? That's how we know how to live holy. That's how we know how to do those things. Love my mother. She did the best she could to raise me and my brother. But she could not teach me how to be a husband. She could not teach me how to be a dad. I had nobody to teach me that. I did. I do. Right here. Right here. Go in here. Teaches a dad how to be a dad. Tells a mom how to be a mom. Tells a wife how to be a wife. A husband how to be a husband. A mom to be a mom. That's what it teaches us. Teaches you how to... Kids, Obey your parents. That's what it says. Why? Because it's why? Because it's a promise that God gave. The first promise and only promise that you'll have long life. You know, Old Testament, back in the Exodus, it says what? Honor thy mother and thy father. Why? Because it has a promise attached to it that you'll have a long life when you honor your mom and your dad. That's something? Ain't that something? My dad wasn't in my life. It's only been the past couple years. I've heard some horror stories about him. My mom's told me the stuff that he's done. But I tell you what I did. I honored my dad. Uh-huh. Did I not? Can't tell me I didn't. Yeah. I never knew him. But I honored my dad. Why? Because the Bible told me to. Show me the stipulation that says not to honor your mother and your father. Show me that in the Bible. We've had some pretty rough parents, I would say. Don't you think, Ma? Now tell me where it says in the Bible it says not to honor your parents. Show me the stipulation where it says not to honor them. I'm just telling you. You know why I believe God does that? And this is some hurt stuff, man. I could just tell you the story of my life. Some hurtful things happened. I have not one ought against a single person that did anything against me. I don't have anything. I can go up and shake the man that did the thing, hands man that did, you know why? Because I'd sure like to see that man get saved. I'd sure like to show them there's a different life. But I can't do that unless I'm living holy. Just can't do it. I can't do it on my own. I can't do it on my own, Ma. No. It's not in our heart to do that. How can we be a living testimony when we won't live the way God wants us to? Every Christian has a calling on their life. I just gave you two of them, and I got a few more to go. So we're called to be salt, called to be holy. Every Christian is called to be separate from this world and our past life. 2 Corinthians 6:14 through 18 says, "Be ye not equally unyoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord with Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God." Oh, man. We are the living. How's that? I'm just telling you. When you come to the realization that you do not own yourself anymore, and that God lives inside of you, do you understand we walk around with Jesus Christ in us? And if we walk around with Jesus Christ in us, if He's powerful, He's God, He's almighty, then tell me, why are you still stuck in your old life? That blows my mind when I see people. Blows my mind. Just I can't understand it because, hey, you know, and I'm not saying that a person's not saved, they're not changing quick enough. I'm not saying that. No. What I'm saying is, at salvation, Jesus Christ comes to live into that believer. We all agree on that, yes? We all believe that Jesus Christ comes to live in us. And if He comes into live in us, then we start desiring His Word. And so when we start desiring His Word, our life is going to change. Why? "Be holy, for I am holy." That's His Word. It is written. It's going to come to pass in that believer's life. Then He says, not only do I want you to be holy so that we can be used of Him, your ministries, whoever else is in the ministry, that's how we're used of God. We have to start being holy first. Then He says, I want you to live a separate life. Let me go into that. Every Christian is called to be called to live separate. Verse 17, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." You want God to be your father? You know what He says? Then you need to come out from among them, and I will be your father. You will be my sons, and you will be my daughters. But I'm just telling you this right now. God is not your father if you are not separate. Go ahead and argue with the Bible. That's what it says. Touch not an unclean thing. Now, we all have sins in our life after salvation, and God has to take those out, but we don't stay in them. We don't stay in that. He takes us from one point to the next. Here's what the Bible says, that the law is our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. So at one point in time, in my mind, I had to realize, man, I'm a lawbreaker. I've broken God's law. What's going to take me? The law has taken me from the law unto my faith in Jesus Christ. Now that I have Jesus Christ, now I don't need to live by the law anymore. I'm free from that. The price has been paid. The sacrifice, it's over. No longer am I bound by that law anymore. But I'm bound by what Jesus Christ tells me. I'm bound by what Jesus Christ, because He lives in me. The conviction that comes over me when I do wrong. I'm just telling you now, if you've ever had the conviction of Jesus Christ in you, you don't want to do those things that you used to do anymore. He'll make sure you don't want to do that anymore. So those desires change and things go, you know, are different. Jesus Christ didn't save a person just to leave them in the mess that they're in. He's not a cruel God like that. I believe that would be a cruel being God to save somebody and leave them where they are. He won't do that. How do I know that? Because His Word says so. He's not a man that He should lie. I promise you today, if you're in here and you're hurting and you feel like you have no hope and you don't know where your life is going, I'm just telling you right now, let Jesus Christ get in there. Let Him wash you. Let Him save you. Come to Him and you will become a different person. Something will happen in your life. And you know what? You'll get those same feelings of emotion that I get when I want to worship Him, when I want to say that I love Him, when I want to read and read my Word. I mean, I have a desire. Every morning I get up. I had to teach my kids the lessons. Luke, and they got up, and Luke's really into Garfield, so he gets up and he opens a Garfield book. I said, boy, if you do that with the Bible, you might have a changed life, Luke. Autumn gets up and she's reading a little princess book. I said, boy, if you really started reading the Bible like that, Autumn, maybe God will touch your life, honey. Ask them what kind of desire, what does that, the first thing that he does when he gets up in the morning, besides the bathroom, Luke? Pray and read. Now, Ma, before I got saved, did you ever see me sit at a table and read a Bible? No. Mm-mm. Now, that's not something that I did, people. That's not something that I did. That's something Jesus Christ did. Why? Because I started living a holy and separate life. I can't walk on water and bounce bullets off my chest. I'm not Superman and all that stuff. I'm an imperfect man saved by a perfect God who knows exactly what needs to happen to me, when and where, and how He's going to make me fulfill His Word. That's how it happens. Every Christian is called to live a separate life from their past. Did I read? I must have read it. Yeah, be ye separate. Come out from among them. This is a lost art in so-called Christian churches today. Put some Christians out there on the streets with the unsaved people, and you would have a hard time telling the difference. God is my witness. I've met Christians, and I'm not putting anybody down for this. I'm just saying I've met Christians who will stand there, and they'll stand there at a bar, and they'll drink right along with the world, man. Smoke, dope, fornicate, and everything else. Listen, this is the word out of somebody's mouth. Who was a deacon in a church, fornicating, out there sleeping with all these women, a deacon in a church for 25 years, and somebody finally approached him and said something to him, and his words were, "They'll all be my wives when I get to heaven." He goes, "I'll be able to screw them all in heaven." Those are his words. Yep. How's that? That's where Christianity's at today, though. We all sit here, you know, we're like, really? But it's a regular thing out there. You know, we're in a smaller community. We hear some stuff that goes on, but I'm just telling you, the stuff that goes on out there in Christianity, you'll be shocked of what people call themselves a Christian. You'll be shocked that they think they're really a Christian. Here's what's going to happen to a saved person. The Bible is very clear on a saved person. Here, I'm going to tell you what it says. Saved person, if you live by the flesh, you shall die by the flesh. No question. Number two, before that happens, God will bring you to repentance. God will bring a believer. He'll say, oh, I want you to see this. You're doing this. He'll open your eyes to it and give you that chance of repentance. That believer will repent because they'll be like, oh, man, I see that now, Lord. Repent. Come back to God. or you live by the flesh, you'll die by the flesh. That's it. That's it. The Bible's very clear on that. That is it. But let me tell you something. You'll be shocked at how many people pick and choose that listen to that part of the Bible. Thank God a believer can't go to hell, but you can lose an inheritance. You can lose rewards. I don't think I'm going to get many now, but that's all right.
I'm just happy to be standing at the gate. I'll be happy just to make it. I'm going to make it. And I'm not going to wish or I'm already in there. I'm good. I'm going in. But I'm just happy that I even get to step foot in there. Somebody like me, that I'll be able to step in there one day. And just, I mean, live an eternity in heaven. Guess what? My favorite thing, honestly. I mean, I'm not into gold and all that stuff. But you know what my favorite? I'll be able to eat and not gain weight. I mean, I can just eat. You see, I like to eat. I can just eat and eat and eat, and I won't have to worry about getting it. It's a feast forever. Anyway. Yeah, I'm happy about that. Anyway. Christians are dressing the same, talking the same, piercing the same, tattooing the same, doing the same, and going to the same places and say they're living a holy and separate life. God forbid. I'm sorry that I even got a tattoo on my body. I hate them. I absolutely despise my tattoos. But I know Christians go out there and they'll sit in a tattoo chair in a tattoo parlor and get all tattooed up and call themselves a Christian. Let me tell you something. God did not call you to go out there after. He says to give all that old life up. Now let's start living a new one. I don't have a new tattoo on me and I wouldn't pay for one. I don't care if you came up to me and said, I'll give you $1 million. I want you to go get this tattoo. I don't want it. It used to bother me bad. I wanted to scrape them off and everything. I hate my tattoos. But you know what? Like I said earlier at the 10 o'clock, it's a testimony of where Jesus brought me from to who I am today. Amen. And I'm okay with that now, but it took me a while to get used to that. I said, Lord, you saved me. You made me your son. But why'd you leave the tattoos? I did. I prayed that. And really, he just put on my heart. He comforted my heart and he said, because of where I brought you from. Just want people to see where I brought you from. What he done. If you think that I'm standing up here today because of me, you're crazy. You have it all mixed up. I'm telling you now, it has nothing to do with me. You ask this woman right here, I can destroy her life pretty quickly, couldn't I? You ask this woman to stay right here, I can destroy lives pretty quickly, couldn't I? That's my mother and my wife, and I'm just telling you now, there's two people who know me in this room that know that I could destroy a life pretty quickly. If it wasn't for Jesus, that's what we would have. Me and you would be together, and you know it. I should tell you that. He didn't kill me. He gave her a new husband. Huh? He answered her prayer just in a different way. Gave her a new husband. I asked, Amy, why do you think you love me? She said, because you love me, because I love her. But the thing that really touched me, because you're a good daddy. That meant something to me. Because I've never been that in my life. I walked out on my children. Not these two, but my others. I walked out on their life. And I just tell you, when I was in Albany, I asked her how bad I was crying. I watched a show about walking out on a man walking on their children's life. And I understood that. And it just killed me. Killed me that I did that to my children. Killed me that I would go out there and I would destroy lives like that. That's what my past did. That's how good I was in my past. You know, them kids loved me. Though I didn't have feelings for them. Them kids loved me, but did it change me, Ma? You know what I did? My mother bought a bus ticket for them to go to Oklahoma because she was afraid I was going to kill them all. Ask her. She bought the bus ticket. That's how much love I had for children.
I didn't see them grow up either.
That's how much love I had for the person supposedly I had them kids with. That I was able to walk out in their life. That's how much it meant to me. Zero. I still went out drugging. Still went out drinking. Still went out to prison. Still went out to jails. Still went out all doing all that stuff. And you tell me you're going to sit here and tell me you love someone and you love your kids without Jesus Christ. I have a hard time with that. I have a hard time with that kind of stuff. Is it really a 12 already? I'm going to finish here in a minute. 1 minute.
Preach it, brother. Tell them to turn on the telephone over there and you can preach from here.
Yeah, amen. I,
here's my whole point. God, thank you, Lord, for that. I mean, he's so good. The whole point is, as saved people, if we ever want to reach anybody, and this, I'm preaching to myself, please, who gave me this message? You guys didn't know this message. God gave this to me alone, personal, at my house, sitting there. So I know the message. And it killed me. I got up and I prayed. I said, Lord, help. I need help. You called me to be these things, then you got to give me the strength because I can't do it on my own. Philippians 4:13 says we can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens us, not Dale Morey who strengthens me. I cannot do it on my own. But I'm going to finish. I'm going to read salt, holiness, separation. I flipped the page a little too early. Called to live, to be a pure life. That's found in 1 Corinthians 3:16. To love our brethren, 1 John 3:14 and 18. Man, goodness, maybe. I'm trying to think. Listen. 1 John 5:1 through 4 says, whoever believeth the name Jesus Christ is the born of God, and everyone that loveth him, that he begot, loveth him also that begotten him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. 1 John says, if you, and then John 14, verse 15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Listen to me. We're called to keep his command. We're called to keep his word. We're called to be salt, called to be separate, called to live a holy life, called to live a pure life. And we're also called to love our brethren and to listen to what the word of God says. This is all things that a regular Christian person is called out to be. That's a calling on every single person's life in this room who names the name of Jesus Christ as a saved person. That is your calling. How we're going to learn it. And I'm going to close with this. We are going to learn it from our Bible and a whole lot of prayer. And then saying, God, you promised me that you would give me the strength to be able to live by this book. Then give me the strength to live by this book. Because if it wasn't for God's grace and mercy, there's no way on God's green earth I could live by what he tells me. And I thank him for that. I thank him for that. Luke, would you stand up and pray for us, buddy? Yeah.